The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. I'm telling you, I love that intro. Love that intro. It really pumps you up for the show, doesn't it? We should make it 15 minutes of the show instead of just 15 seconds. But we have a lot to get to this week, so we're just going to jump right in. And I think you're going to enjoy this week because we're going to recap it all. We're going to try to. Stand by. Here we go. AI Joe did really not know where to go. On the G7 stage, he looked like his batteries were really quite low. With circuits whirling slow and his gears in a bind, he pondered where was his place in his digital mind. As his processor hummed, and he tried to find the right path to take for a robot of this kind. But alas, poor Joe, with wires all a mess, couldn't navigate the chaos. Oh, what apparent stress. He scanned the room with his electronic eyes as world leaders gathered in his best presidential disguise. Boris, Zelensky, Olaf, and even Macron. Joe thought, can I join them? Will they know? Or can I just keep playing along? In the earpiece, a voice was talking in his head. Even though Joe was moving so slowly, they all suspected he might already be dead. He approached the podium, trying so hard to blend. With a smile on his screen, he hoped to possibly transcend. But as he spoke, glitches they started to show. The crowd was trying not to laugh and snicker. To the U.S., it was a comical blow. I am AI Joe, he said, the leader of the free world and the smartest man around. But on this grand stage, with his ancient circuits, he was quite feeling unsound. He can calculate numbers by confusing simple equations, but getting off the stage, a coherent thought, that's beyond him on most occasions. The world leaders chuckled, their laughter did sting. Even Vlad, Putin, and Xi cracked a smile, a very peculiar thing. AI Joe then realized amidst all the problems in the world this year, but thank goodness we are focusing on our military and it being okay to be queer. They were embracing Joe's quirks. Then the machine just let out a loud bleep. And Joe began mumbling and mixing up leaders. Immediately, his handlers an exit did seek. The crowd then erupted in a fake joyous applause. For AI Joe, with his programming defective, tried to look past all of his flaws. Just keep paying the tab, Joe. We will all be thrilled with you being here. If you could stay awake for some of the dinners, that would be something we could cheer. Joe may not know politics, be able to speak, or be worldly afray. But the fact that he is actually awake there brought a smile to the G7 today. With Joe's bumbling presence lost in his own world, he brought delight. A reminder, if we could remember who he is and what country we would fight. So let's try and celebrate AI Joe, the robot who thinks he's real. In a world of algorithms, inflation, Bidenomics, he actually thinks he's got a second term, the appeal. For in this grand show where the chaos Joe caused unfolds, it's scrambled policies that in America strangles our households. Why is there still such a mess and disorder at the border? It's like Swiss cheese to ignore this problem. The Democrats want no order. It seems that a wall high and wide would be a great solution, yet they seem too focused on creating lots of chaos and ignoring the Constitution. Instead, they will tell you that all should come in without question. Crime out of control. We ignore it. That's the Dems' best suggestion. At the border, the chaos still ensues. With federal police, the people and Joe policies all askew. Just swim across the river. You're in. Oh, what a mess. Just like the holes in Swiss cheese, I must confess. For Swiss cheese is known far and wide, with its holes quite prominent. It is those that cannot hide. But just like the border, nothing on the surface is smooth. When people used to enter without permission, law enforcement had to remove. Solve the border crisis, then you can't have the issue for the election. The disorder at the border, a tangled web, It's a government infection. Like the Swiss cheese's holes, they are not really planned. Weak policies of this administration and ignoring the law must now be banned. You don't let Swiss cheese stay out in the sun to be exposed too long. It gives off a bad odor, like the federal government ignoring laws. It's just wrong. It seems that no law can set things right. But I expect our borders to be enforced and the feds to put up a fight. Ignoring laws and enforcing them no more. Looks like they've decided with Biden to just open up the American door. More than 6 million have come in to us without a care. The financial drain on America's system. We better now be aware. But if the Constitution is not followed and the system is not fair, is it the end of America if we continue? That we have to be aware. The system has lost all control, and we the people are the victims now. Now that we are here, this is, we cannot possibly allow. I fear, my friend, there may be no hope in sight. I think we are killing ourselves in America. We are failing to see the light. For as we try and savor that Swiss cheesy taste, we all know the border's challenges. We in America have our trust misplaced. Just like the cheese, the border will have to evolve. Without solutions found, the problem we will never solve. So do nothing and let's enjoy some Swiss cheese fondue as we ponder the wide open border, America's demise, and Joe's problems will stew. So next time you munch on crackers with Swiss cheese, remember the border disorder and think about it, if you please. Both are total disasters, causing quite a bit of strife. But they're now a part of American tapestry. This has become our life. In the end, we must find a way to address the issues or American will continue to be led astray. We are out of money, empathy, compassion, and smiles. We are failing to tackle the challenges. Joe Biden, that darn wall. Finish it for the rest of the miles. You can't resolve racism by racism, they say. It won't work, no matter how unfair that you play. With a humorous rhyme, let's take this ride and explore the truth with a twist of reality on our side. In a world of this new prejudice, we must be aware. Fighting fire with fire makes no sense. It just isn't fair. To tackle racism, we really need a new scheme. So let's dive right in and explore this theme. Once upon a time in a land afar, there lived a town divided by a giant scar. The people were split, some filled with hate in their brains. Stereotypes and bias were running through their veins. One day a clever jester came to town. With a rhyme-filled hat, he said he would turn things around. So he stood on a soapbox and gathered a crowd, ready to share his wisdom, both clear and loud. You can't resolve racism with more of the same. It's like playing a game with no rules, no rules to tame. To break the cycle, we need to quit and unite. Embrace our differences, stop the stupid, and unity, it will ignite. The jester's words finally made the people think, could it be true, this rhyming jester stink? The people scratched their heads, pondering ever so deep, could humor and unity sow the seeds so that we can reap? So they gathered together all colors and creeds in a grand festival. It was a magical deed. With laughter and jokes, they erased the divide, bridging gaps arm in arm and walking now side by side. The jester performed his jokes, what a delight, showing how humor could mend this ugly plight. He poked fun at stereotypes and race in a way like Dave Chappelle. They brought smiles to every face. The people laughed, their hearts rejoiced. As barriers crumbled, the people finally found their voice. In their shared laughter, they found common ground, discovery that unity that truly turned this country around. With time, the town changed day by day, racism diminishing, it just fading away. For they finally understood the jester's wise decree, that fighting hate with hate never is the key. So let this tale be a lesson to all. Racism to fight racism doesn't make much sense, so go build the wall. Separating us based on race is simply stupid, I say. It's caustic to everything we fought for in each and every way. For being colorblind, we finally got the decision. We can now stop using this issue to cause such division. For you can't solve racism with more of the same. But with unity and empathy, we'll fight again to light the flame. Does our leader need a nurse, a caretaker, and an arrow too? To walk to know which way to go, and gee, what to do. Let's embark on a whimsical rhyme, let's be clear, and explore this critical idea with a sprinkle of concern, oh dear. Once upon a time in a land of pomp and circumstance and pride, there lived a leader who really needed a guide. With every step he took, confusion would arise, so a nurse, a caretaker, and an arrow became his ally. The nurse with a stethoscope around her neck checked the leader's pulse with a worried fleck. She claimed, oh dear, your heart is racing fast. Let's slow down, lest we make another mistake. That might be your last. The caretaker, always by his side, was ready to assist with a confident stride. From tying his shoelaces to adjusting his tie, they made sure the leader was good to go, fly. And then there was the arrow, so swift and so bright, pointing the way like a beacon of bright white light. Left or right, the leader would ask, the arrow, unwavering, was always up to the task. With the leader, the caretaker, and the arrow in tow, the leader was able to venture to Europe, just taking it slow. But as he paraded in circles through the European town, laughter erupted. There were smiles all around. For the sight was so comical, no one could deny. A leader needing so much help, a laugh so hard I started to cry. A nurse gave an extra shot, just to be safe, while the caretaker polished our leader's nuclear football case. The arrow, a constant companion, it now never failed, guiding the leader, even when everything else seemed to be derailed. But as time went on, something became clear. The leader was out of it, and in public view, the nurse should stay clear. One day during a parade, our leader took the stage to address the crowd and the audience and to display some rage. With charisma or grace, his words tried to inspire. The nurse, caretaker, and arrow, they all did the attempt admire. But try as they did, the words jumbled came out. When asked a simple question, he said, "Stupid question," next he did shout. For as he appeared more now in public, it became abundantly clear that the end of Joe's term is certainly now near. There is no way he could make it through a second term. Just think about it. President Kamala, you would think America by now would have learned. This can't be ignored. You would think we could see. That's certainly Joe's comprehension. It certainly did flee. Nothing can be further from reality to elect him again. In order to be president, the minimum requirement is a pulse and a brain. The leader proclaimed, though I need assistance indeed, it's the team that supports me, fulfilling and falling all over my every need. For it takes a large staff to make a leader like Joe stand at all. With their propping up stage directions, crib notes, he still can't stay on the ball. And so the leader tries to march on, holding on to their hand, with a nurse, caretaker, and arrow, a well-rounded little band. Needing so much assistance and care for the toughest job on earth. As he runs this country down, we now question even our very worth. Wait, his words come out, but they don't mean a thing. Dems say we shouldn't care. To the old-time Joe, the Dems do cling. But acknowledging the weakness of Joe, the lamestream media doesn't care. But we can't ignore that a coherent sentence out of his mouth is now quite rare. For a leader who can't even stand and certainly not on his own, but needs this intensive support system, now we see firsthand, it's now known. Joe was a contender only because he wasn't Donald Trump. Now the nation seems willing to deal with mean tweets for an economical bump. So now rhyme time is coming to an end on a high note. We must not take life too serious, and remember, it's almost time to vote. The nation's problems are real. This is not the issue right now. We sent Janet Yellen to China, but she continues to bow and bow and bow and bow. Leading from behind is not a good strategy. Joe trying to lead us forward. This is now a serious tragedy. Rhyme time is over. It's what we have come to understand. We will now start the main show. Now stay tuned to see what we've got planned. Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to this week's show. I don't know how I do it every week. The nonsensical rhymes, putting in all of the news of the week almost. It's actually pretty amazing. You know, you'd almost think that I'd be president. But then again, I can't jumble up the words too much. Well, you know, last week, and if you were listening prior to this show, you heard my other show from last week. And I just want to follow up right now with the White House cocaine train derails after only 4 days. Now, I was thinking about this. I may be a little confused. It now took 5 years to investigate Hunter Biden until the expiration of the statute of limitations of the crime they were investigating. But now, miraculously, in 4 days, they've come to the conclusion, after an intense investigation by the Secret Service, that they can't find out who left a bag of cocaine in the White House. Think about this for a second. A little white bag of powder. It could have been ricin. It could have been anthrax. Taking out the entire executive branch of our government. And we have given up the search for who brought this in after 4 days. After 4 days, they gave up. Do you think this is an adequate investigation? Whether it's criminal or not, do you think it's adequate? I mean, what are we doing here? What are we waiting for? How does something like this get in the White House, and then bam, it's gone? You know, they told me last election, the big media hype was that they needed to get normalcy back to the White House, back to the country. That's why they needed to get Trump out. He was the devil reincarnated, they kept telling us. The bad guy, the mean guy, the mean tweets, everything. He was just a disaster, right? Well, I don't see normalcy. And if this is normal to have cocaine at the White House, you can count me out. Is it normal now to have crime rates 50% or 100% higher than under Trump's watch? If that's normal, count me out. We now have more 68% rise in bankruptcies for small businesses under Biden. If that's normal, count me out. Listen, I'm a fairly reasonable guy. You guys know the shark is here, okay? And I tell it like it is. And I do analyze the facts and circumstances. As an attorney, I've done that for 35 years. But my gut tells me that the Secret Service, that one of the most amazing criminal division investigative forces and law enforcement organization, that they protect the White House. And again, remember, I've been there. I know what goes on there. You can't get a squeak of anything through there. But yet somehow a bag of cocaine gets in. And they're okay with that. And 4 days later, closed. We're done. Thanks very much for playing. This is bizarre to me. You couldn't get DNA off a cocaine bag? Oh, I'll bet you could. Every one of my clients has ever used cocaine. Oh, I bet there's DNA all over that. And fingerprints too, I bet. Those little bags must be tough to open. They're not really big. They're not like a giant Ziploc bag. But let's look at the real facts. It just seems that everything surrounding Biden seems to go sideways. They found documents next to his Corvette. They found documents in his university center. They found documents from when he was a senator that he didn't even have a right to take out of the skiff. And they found that with him. But nothing's been done. They gave, or they found Hunter took in a $400,000 payment from a, and I got to tell you, for a guy who's so hyped up allegedly on drugs, and well, it's not alleged, I've seen the video of him doing crack and cocaine, but that's got to make you brilliant, because setting up 20 different companies to funnel money through, that's got to take a lot of brain power. You know, maybe Joe was right. Maybe Hunter is the smartest guy around. But you could take cocaine into the White House. And they say, listen, they have these ricin detectors, and they have all kinds of, you know, radiological detectors at the White House that you couldn't get stuff like that in. And I understand that. But this is really, really worrisome to me, that the Secret Service didn't even ask the FBI to come and join. The most premier agency, or the second most premier agency, investigative agency in the country, in the world. When something happens in the world, hey, we send some FBI guys. When something happens at the White House, nah, the Secret Service is handling it. And by the way, flopsy-mopsy, listen, the family, the Biden family, was at the White House on Friday till 6:30. You know, if you're going to get up and lie to me, and just before you lie to me, here, note to self, take me to dinner, okay? The check's in the mail. You know, it just baffles me that something like this could happen. I just find it really weird. And then the fact that Hunter got such an amazing deal. Now, what's the deal with that? I didn't want to talk about this because it's going round and round and around with, you know, the U.S. Attorney Weiss and then the whistleblower. Listen, somebody's lying. Because you can't have two agents who have a completely opposite story. One of them is true and one of them is not. I mean, this is just simple, you know, Bidenomics. Simple Bidenomics. What do you know? So, you know, I think if this is a new normal, take me off the Joe Biden list. Okay? Put me on the Trump train. As I'll take crazy over incompetent anytime. All right? If that's our two choices, then you know what? Sign me up for the Trump train. You know, do I think that he is the best choice? Well, listen, they're trying to pin so much stuff on him, he might as well get in that donkey suit so they can pin that everything on his tail. I mean, this is absurd already. Wait. And by the way, mark my words, write it down. Right before the 2024 election is when Georgia's going to pop the cork on their champagne because they're going to charge him with something. And they're going to arraign him, bring him before the court, blah, blah, blah. You know, what is very interesting to me is that nobody seems to be focusing on what America needs. We're so busy in this garbage with the politics. You know, we have a real shortage of military personnel coming in. And with the military personnel, there's two things that I think the military should focus on. And I actually wrote this down. The only thing I think the military should be focused on is lethality and recruitment. Excuse me. Lethality and recruitment. Not lethality and diversity. Not lethality and inclusion. How about two things? Lethality and competency. That's what your military is built for. Because if you build the most lethal force in the world, no one will mess with you. And Reagan showed us that. Reagan was really clear. Build back the military and no one will challenge you. Now, what's China doing right now? Guess what they're doing? They have a bigger navy than we do. They have more than 50 ships more than our navy. Listen to me, folks. This is dangerous. They have 1 billion people over there. And their commanders are not inept. What does Xi do when our guys are over there? He's telling his military to be prepared for war. What are we telling our military? Be prepared for the drag show? Be prepared for your gender-changing transformation? Oh, let's get out the pride flag. No, we are under the American flag. I'm sorry, call me what you want. But I will bet you, and I said it again and again and again, and no one's listening. Well, at least somebody's listening, hopefully. Taiwan is going to be taken over by China before Biden leaves. And I hope he doesn't get a second chance to destroy the rest of this country. He's done an amazing job of taking us down and taking us off the stage. And I got to tell you, you know why Europe likes Biden? Because he's weak. A weak America is what Europe wants. Bring your wallet, pay the bill, and shut up and stand behind everybody else. Did you see him in Europe? How embarrassing was that? And then we send over the drinking bird, Janet Yellen. That's what she reminded me of. She kept bowing to the leaders in China. I mean, this is America, folks. I mean, am I a pompous American? Yeah, I am. And you know what? I'm darn proud of it. Because we saved the world once. And we're doing it again right now in Ukraine. But you know what? I guarantee you, under Trump, Putin would have never stepped into Ukraine. Never. And I can tell you that with certainty. But the reality is that our drinking bird, Janet Yellen, bowing to the Chinese over there, that looked ridiculous. I'm sorry. Is it nice to bow once? Yes, you do that as a sign of respect. That's fine. Then you shake hands. You don't keep bowing like a drinking bird. It's ridiculous. You sent over Anthony Blinken. Last time he was with the Chinese, he got his butt lectured to. Is that what we needed? A lecture from the Chinese? Well, no, next they're going to lecture us on human rights. Oh, wait a second. That's right. We're still sending them money. We're still sending China money for their human rights. How's that? How's that working out for the Uyghurs? You know, this country needs to get it straight. It really needs to straighten it out. So then, this week, I'm gonna run up for the federal judge in the Menendez, John Menendez. But we're going to take a short break, and I'll pick it up with that case right after. You're going to find this real interesting. Stand by.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Start taking back our country from the liberal wokes by voting locally for conservative Republicans.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
And I do want to mention, while I've got a chance, Mark, that we are listened to. And we've got a great testimony from Dr. Moeller, who does a veteran's place. And he had a veteran come in, and Dr. Moeller, in due course, where did you hear about me? From America's Web Radio.
That's right. We are America's Web Radio. We are the best.
And more, we do more for veterans and doing more and more daily for veterans with our great veteran shows and our host, like Lieutenant Colonel Philip Farsberg and Don Moeller, Dr. Don Moeller, that has a way, if you have PTSD and can't sleep at night, he has a product, he has developed a product, he designed it himself, and it will let you sleep at night. So if you've got a friend that has PTSD, have him tune in to a veteran's place on America's Web Radio. And if you have friends that are veterans, have them tune in. Go to our website and look at all the shows that we dedicate to veterans and to first responders. And I'm proud to see that Mark is wearing a red shirt. This is Red Shirt Friday. We honor our first responders and all those that have served by wearing red on Friday. So, with that being said, let's get back to a bite of reality.
And, by the way, did you also know that today is National French Fry Day? I bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
I found out this morning. Someone told me this morning. I can't verify that. But if we have anybody, email me, and I'd like to know the origins of National French Fry Day.
So we're getting to witness the French getting fried?
Something like that. I don't even know if French fries come from France, so I don't know. You know, I didn't research that for the program. But it's something that I'd like to look into, because I do certainly, at least I used to eat a lot of French fries. Now, not too many. But we're trying to calm that down. But I was looking at some of the stuff that I figured out for the show today. And, you know, right now we have Janet Yellen. We have Blinken Lincoln over there in China. And he brought with him to the G7 the incompetent military leaders of the United States. You know, the same guys brought to you Afghanistan, the withdrawal on how to do that the wrong way. But what I see here is we are, as a country right now, not prepared to be self-sufficient. That's a problem to me. A couple of, and I don't remember if people do remember this. Last year, China turned around when we were giving them garbage about the way they're doing the Uyghurs, all right? They decided at some point there was a mention that they would cut off our antibiotics. What has the Biden administration done? What has the Republicans done? What have the people who we elected in this country do to get America decoupled from... I know Biden thinks they're the competition. I'm sorry. a billion people with a military that they have and the way they're exercising their military, that's not competition. That, to me, is a potential major enemy. Yeah, we buy most of our garbage and our crap that we buy here in America from China. Why? Because we like the 99-cent items. Have you been to the 99-cent store lately? Everything's $1.50 under Biden. Used to be 99 cents under Trump. But let's get back to the topic here. China is not a competitor. Wake up. China wants to take over the world. That's what they want to do. This is not like little, oh, no, you're a conspiracy guy. This is reality. But the genius bar that we have in our government right now doesn't see it. Why? Because things are looking great. And I said this last week, too. We're into this now, electric vehicles, electric everything. And now here you go. What are we going to do to build these electric things? You need batteries. Where do we get our batteries? Where do you get the raw materials? From all the Chinese mines. Because they were smart enough, not like our government. And it's not only Biden. It's under Trump. And it's before him. It's under Obama for 8 years. Nobody was thinking ahead. You all think green energy, green energy. What have we done to get this country to manufacture green energy items? What have we done to get our country to get the raw materials to manufacture them? Nothing. Zero. Zero. That's the sum number of total zero. That's what we've done. So think about it. When you go to the ballot box, when you vote for these people, don't listen to their rhetoric. Listen to their conduct. And here's a genius bar member. I was looking at this week. I watched the testimony of, oh, God, this guy's got to get off the stage. John Kerry. This is the most pompous ass I have ever seen anywhere on this planet. This is a guy who gets up before the Congress and testifies, by the way, not under oath, which was really interesting. He never got sworn in. And he testified basically that he only reports to Biden. He's the quote-unquote, remember, he's the climate czar, the guy who flies around the country and the world on his private jet, which was really, I loved his response. He was asked by one of the congressmen, do you want a private jet? And his response was correct. No, I do not. The Heinz fortune heiress, Heinz, his wife owns the jet. And by the way, the jet's in an LLC. So technically, his answer was correct. But here's where his answer kind of goes astray. He has to think for a second. Have I been on a private jet maybe once? Well, no, because the flight logs kind of indicate he's been on it over 50 trips in a private plane, in his little private jet. And then he was talking about at one point with somebody when he was in Europe about he offsets his carbon footprint. Dude. If I say to you I'm not using gas anymore because I didn't put it in my car, and then I go get my friend to go fill up my car, my statement is still correct. I'm not using gas. I didn't put it in the car, but my friend put it in my car. That's what this... Listen, be honest. You know, I know that's a problem for a lot of people in administration and politics. Honesty is something that the people in America respect. When you can sit there and tell me that your carbon footprint is offset because you buy carbon... It's credits. It's just like dumb. It's dumb. I didn't use the gasoline on Tuesday, but I used it on Wednesday. So no, if you're asking me, did I use it on Tuesday? No. That's a correct answer. But then you used it on Wednesday. It's the same thing. You're producing carbon. Okay? You talk about global warming and you're all afraid, you know, Obama goes and buys a $20 million estate on the water. I guess he's not really worried about climate change and the earth being flooded because he's right on the water. Duh. So, again, what I tell you is watch the stupidity here. Watch the hypocrisy. Watch their actions, not their words. Because you know what? Anybody can tell you anything. You know, it's like when I do a deposition or I depose a witness or I'm on trial, I watch the person's eyes and I watch their hands. Why? Because that's where they're going to get nervous. They're going to start looking around. They're going to start shaking their hands or moving their fingers around. Because when people get nervous, they do that. But you can't do that in government. You can't be nervous because you're lying. But what I said right before the break is I wanted to grab this. Federal Judge John Mendez dismisses the California case against the Chico School District. Now, people are saying, what do I care about Chico School District in California? Well, let me explain to you why you care. This case was brought by a mother who sued the school district because the school district decided that the child was going to become from her daughter to her son and transgender. So they did not tell the mother, did not consult with the mother, didn't tell the mother anything, and this child, now confused as all, was in these groups and was basically being groomed by the school administration and the psychologist and the teacher to go be a boy. Okay? Now, here's my problem with this. That's illegal is the way I see it. This California judge, John Menendez, saw it to be, oh, it's constitutional. Because they don't have to tell the parents of what's going on at school. When I had kids in school, in elementary school we're talking about, by the way. And when my daughter was given an aspirin, she had to get a permission slip from me to give him an aspirin. Now here they want to go change the daughter into a son. They're talking about binding her breasts. What is wrong with this country? What is crazy about this? Where are the parental rights? Listen, before everybody panics and before I get too excited, this case is going to be appealed, and it's going to be appealed and overturned on appeal. Listen, the fact that this federal judge actually made this decision is so bizarre. This just shows you when you have an infection in the system of radical judges, this is what you get. He literally said it's not the mother's right to know what's going on with her child in school. Now, maybe that could explain the 13% proficiency in math and English and science in Chicago and Baltimore and our major cities and how our kids are failing, because they don't have to tell the parents anything, right? Because the school now owns your kids. Well, I'm telling you right now, that is wrong. That needs to be changed, and that judge needs to really be coming off the bench, because that is one of the most bizarre case decisions I've seen in a long time. It's going to be unconstitutional, because quite frankly, the government doesn't have the unfettered right to interfere with you raising your kids. There is no compelling state or federal reason for them to be changing your kid from your daughter into your son. That's ridiculous. And you know what? This is why we need to get rid of the Democrats in this country. We need to vote them out. When you put them into these offices, this is the radical changes. And it may not be all Democrats, because quite frankly, there are moderate Democrats. But the progressive Democrats, the AOCs, the Presleys, the Omar Ilhans, the people who got everything from this country and then hate it, those are the people you got to go. You know, to take a kid and change its gender, to change his or her gender, or give her the right to choose her own pronouns without telling the parents, is just simply wrong. And do me a favor, stop calling it gender-affirming care, because the real term should be called gender mutilation. Okay? When you're a child, you deserve more than that. You deserve your parents to be advised of everything that you're doing. That's a parent's job. A parent's job is to raise the kid, not the school, not some wacky teacher. And don't even get me started on the teacher unions. You know, their main focus is politics. Look what they did in Chicago. This has nothing to do with kids. They got this guy Johnson in who took out that other lizard, and he's more radical than she was. But I got to tell you, I want to pick something up again, and I know this is close to your heart, Dave. Daniel Perry again. Yeah, I'm talking about the Marine who protected all those people on the New York subway. Here we go again, back in New York. Let's come on back to New York with me this week. The amazing district attorney in New York, in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. He made a statement this week, and I want everyone to pay attention to this, okay, because this is going to be critical. Ready for this? And I quote, "He has knots in his stomach when his family members get on the train in New York City," referring to the subway. Close quote. That's actually what he said. I saw it. I saw it on tape. Okay? I heard it with my own ears, as Kamala would say. If I'm the defense attorney for Daniel Perry here, I play this tape on a giant 60-foot television right for the jury, sit down and say defense rests. The fact that this district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who lets all these criminals go, 46% of them he lets go, 50% of his cases he loses. And after he goes after the heroic Marine in such a pathetic manner, it's an abomination. It's a politically motivated district attorney. And this, in and of itself, this statement alone, the jury's got to find him innocent. And I got to tell you, go back to the 911 calls, because you know what? Apparently it was only, not only Daniel Perry, I should say, but it was all the other people on the Terra Tube, the subway in New York, that were calling 911. So apparently somebody was fearing for their life, despite what Alvin Bragg says. Well, Alvin Bragg, maybe if you let the good people do what they have to do, maybe if you took the handcuffs off the police and let them do policing in the city, you wouldn't have knots in your stomach. And he says, well, there's nothing I can do. You're the district attorney, you dumbass. You are the district attorney. You have the ability to do something. The fact that you say you don't have anything, you can't do anything, that is ridiculous. But you know what? That's not the dumbass award of the week. No, he's not the one. So let's go on. So a little further down the line, talking about back to Joe Biden, we're bouncing all over today. So over on MSNBC, I saw this week, yeah, I do listen to them. I watch them. The Morning Joe. Should be The Morning Jerks. But it's The Morning Joe is the name of the show. I think the co-host, I think her name is Mika. She was so pissed off this week. She was so angry that because Joe was falling down steps, falling up steps, falling over sandbags, literally looking ridiculous on the world stage. And she is seriously yelling at the handlers of Joe Biden. Okay? Understand this. This is a co-host on a national televised TV station and program. And she is blaming the handlers of our president for falling down, can't get up, falling off the stage, doesn't know where to go, looks totally lost. She's either a complete moron or an ideologue. One of the two, she doesn't see anything that's going on. And then she says she wants him to run a second term. The guy can't walk. The guy doesn't know where he's going. The guy thinks Putin invaded Iraq. And she wants it to run a second time. I got to tell you, the Biden brain, it's amazing. So now, getting to my favorite part, the Dumbass Award of the Week. So before I tell you who it goes to, I'm going to tell you what happened. So Biden on Sunday, while he's doing his European, you know, write out the checks tour, America is low on 1.55 munitions, which is what Ukraine is currently using. Well, where are they getting that munitions from? The United States. Well, so now what? So what used to be called cluster bombs, they are now sending these munitions to, I was going to say Iraq, but nah, people wouldn't get it. So they're now sending these munitions to Ukraine. This is what they're going to be using. Now, a year ago, the Biden administration called the use of these cluster bombs a war crime. Huh. How's that working out? I guess it's one of the Democratic redefinition of words again. Merriam-Webster is going to be really busy under the Biden administration redefining words like, I don't know, inflation, redefining the words like, oh, I don't know, recession, things like that that they've reduced to new words. So he says we're low on ammunition. Why is it every time that Biden speaks, we the people need an interpreter to figure out what he's saying? This is not what it should be. Listen, love Trump or hate Trump, when he spoke, he knew exactly what he was saying. So we're going to call out to our next commercial break. And then as our Ukraine war progresses 500 days, don't miss this right after the break. Hang on.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctor's conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Right before the break, I was going to tell you about Happy Birthday, Ukraine, 500 days of the war. Remember, the sanctions, we'll revisit the sanctions on Russia in a month, said Biden. Remember that? And then it became, no, the sanctions were never meant to prevent the war. No. Okay, so now we're what, $140 billion in? Yeah, we'll probably took that out of our school budget based on our test scores of our students. But we're $140 billion into this war. And guess what? We're at a dead heat. Okay, if this was a race, they'd be neck and neck. That's not really the way you want to fight a war. You want to win a war, don't you? You want to go in, beat the heck out of the enemy leaves, and you won, right? No, not us. We give them just enough weapons to keep it neck and neck. This is the same people who developed the strategy for withdrawing from Afghanistan under Biden. Milley and Austin, brilliant, brilliant strategist, right? Where are the other guys? Maybe we need a non-transgender military guy to figure a strategy out. Maybe we have enough diversity, and now we need some lethality. How about that? Nah, we don't want that. So 500 days into this war, and what have we gotten? A lot of dead Ukrainians. Oh, I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of destruction to Ukraine. You're going to basically be fighting over nothing in Ukraine. Putin is destroying the cities. He's destroyed everything. He's destroyed their power plants. He's destroyed their infrastructure. And guess who's going to pay to rebuild that? Welcome to America. Now, Biden went to the G7, right? So did he get everybody to pay up their 2%? Oh, no. No. That's why they hated Trump at the G7. Because he's saying, wait a second. What's going on here? We're paying 2%. We're paying more than 2%. And you guys are not paying your 2%. Why? Well, because they let them get away with it under Obama. And now they're letting them get away with it under Biden. Why would they not love Biden? We don't have to pay. This is great. We can all say we're in it. Let's all fly in and, hey, there we are. So there's something that really got under my skin this week. And it was something where this is called California Criminal Bill 852. Now, this is going to be an interesting bill in California. This basically says, and you're going to, it's not a miscue, it's not a misread, it's not misspoken. This basically says that if you are a minority, you get a lesser sentence than a Caucasian. Okay? Let that set with you for a second. Let that settle in. The California Criminal Bill 852 says, if you are a minority, the judge has to give you a lesser sentence. He has to figure race into your penalty. How about the race of the victim? How about the race of the murdered person or the assaulted person? Do we calculate that? How about the age? How about if you beat the living daylights out of an 86-year-old guy, do you get more sentence than a 20-year-old? This California, and I'm telling you, wait, Biden's not going to be the nominee. I really don't think so. But they're going to try to pump up this guy from California. I mean, holy Gavin Newsom. This is the guy who's looking at this stuff and saying, yeah, this is a great idea. Whatever happened to the character and content of people? Martin Luther King is yelling down from heaven and saying, what are you guys doing to everything that I went forward in this country for? I gave my life to this country to make sure that people are judged by the character of their content and not their color. And yet, right in front of our faces, this is what the Democrats are doing. It's the minority status. That's your status. Well, guess what? There are many, many millionaires who are black and people who stopped becoming victims because they said, I'm not going to be a victim. If you're a victim, nothing's your fault, right? There's no culpability. Why would you have culpability? You're a minority, right? This is the dumbest thing I've heard. So this week, based on, I'm going to pull up now to my dumbass award of the week. This goes to Joe Biden. You know, I don't take joy in saying that. Why would you tell the enemy that you are fighting in public, that you're running out of the munitions that you use in the war? Do you not think that China immediately took note of this? You can bet. This guy needs to stay out of the limelight. He needs to stay away from microphones because it seems like everything he says is a tragedy. It's a disaster in the making. How would you go out and breach national security and say, we're low on ammunition? Why would you tell someone that? No, oh, we don't have any more weapons. Well, here's an idea. Here's, you got it from the shark. Here you go. Why don't we throw the gas stoves at them? We'll just drop gas stoves from the planes because they're trying to outlaw our gas stoves in New York and California. You can't use gas stoves for anything anymore, like cooking. Why don't we just throw them at the enemy? Drop them from planes. It's a brilliant idea. It would be great. So he gets the award for the week. Now, President Biden, he skipped the NATO dinner. Why? Oh, he was preparing for his big speech the next day. You want this guy to run another term? I think we've all concluded at this point that he could not run another term. And President Kamala scares the living daylights out of me. I mean, as incompetent as Joe is, I would stick a stick up his butt and prop him up to make sure that she doesn't get to be president. So he confuses Vladimir Putin's name with Zelensky. How are we getting there, folks? He thought that Putin attacked Iraq. You know, it just gets worse and worse. And China, North Korea, and Russia and Iran are laughing hysterically. And they're baffled. How dumb can America be to elect this guy? Well, we elected him because he was in his basement. The media told you what he was. Now we see what he is. Yeah, go for it again. Yeah, run him. I'm betting he's not going to be the nominee. Because you know what? As we say, silence was deafening. You know, so I just can't believe that he would say something like that. And then here's the other question. They were asked whether or not he received any payments from China. The silence again was deafening. No answer, just smiling, smirking. He's going to claim, oh, they said it was a noisy room. He didn't hear the question. No, he heard the question. Oh, he heard the question, all right. He's not answering that question, but I think we all know the answer already. So then this week we watched the Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, on Wednesday was testifying before Congress. That was funny. You know, I got to give, you know, watching the Democrats and Republicans on this same committee was like watching a tennis match. It just kept going back and forth. The Republicans attacked Wray, questioned all his stupidity and all the mistakes and all the breaches of the Constitution by the FBI. And the Democrats kept pumping up Wray. They kept giving him up and down. Thanks for chasing down Trump's guys. Now, I got to tell you. You gotta love Christopher Wray. He chased down Trump and his allies. You really do. And the Republicans hated him because he chased down Trump. And the Democrats, they thought he was the Messiah. So let me get to the testimony on Wednesday. This is a guy who was removing on social media misinformation and disinformation. Okay? They colluded with the giant tech companies to do that. Silence America. But yet, when he was asked directly to define misinformation and disinformation, he did not. He could not define it. Well, that's kind of interesting. If you're going to be the arbiters of disinformation campaigns and misinformation, should you not know what the definition is? Instead, he tried to mumbo-jumbo his way out of it. It was ridiculous. It was just embarrassing. My feeling, quite frankly, is that Christopher Wray, the FBI, acted completely and unabashedly, unconstitutionally, in violation of every single right and court decision that has come out, even the recent ones, with respect to silencing American citizens. Free speech. Remember the First Amendment. I talked about this last week. Yep, for some reason, the director doesn't think that free speech goes along with the Constitution. You know, if you have somebody who doesn't pay attention to the Constitution, it's ridiculous. And here was the other question that he didn't really come to an answer. There were thousands of improper warrantless searches and an abuse of the FISA courts. That's the secret court where they go get wiretaps and warrants. But they don't have to verify it, apparently, under the new FBI rules. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. And I got to tell you, where are the judges in the FISA court? Because if I step into something like this with a judge around here, I'm called before that judge and I'm going to be held in contempt and I'm going to be in some deep water, hot water. But you see, I got to hand it to the Democrats. The Democrats are brilliant. The Republicans are second base. They're not even in the game sometimes. Nadler gets up there, makes the entire hearing about Donald Trump. This is a misdirection. They're intending to do it successfully, blah, blah, blah. Now, what did the Democrats do for the January 6th lynch mob? Their committee. Remember that committee? This is great. They kicked all the Republicans off that were put on there by the Republicans and put on the turncoats Kinziger and Liz Cheney. It ran like a Broadway production. It was beautiful. No back and forth, no one side, the other side. It was all one-sided. It was amazing. It was great. So I want to just jump in right towards, I know we're getting towards the end of the program here. So I'm going to talk about, I heard this morning, and I just saw it a little while before the program started, that the National Defense Authorization Act was passed out of Congress. Congratulations, Mr. McCarthy. Dead on arrival at the Senate. It's that Senate's never going to pass it. Why? Let me give you some high points here. Pay raises for our soldiers, 5%. A masterful plan to deter China from its aggression. Rooting out wasteful spending of about $40 billion of taxpayer money. Defunding the transgender program. Defunding the transgender surgery for soldiers. Our military, as I said, must be focused on lethality, not diversity inclusion. Okay? If we are not focused on that, our military is finished. We can't get people in the military if you're worried about diversity and rainbow flags and drag shows. It doesn't work that way. Okay? Our military must be lethal. But the fact is, they jumped up and down. They wanted to pass the National Defense Act. They did. But it's dead on arrival. I guess we'll find out next week. But I got to tell you, folks, I want to really thank you for listening this week. You know, with all the confusion and all the mess in our system, it's nice every once in a while to hear about an hour's worth of sanity from Mark the Shark. You know, next week I'm going to try to get you an update on the windmill farms. All right, we're going to wrap it up right now. I want to thank you. You've been listening to America's Web Radio with a Bite of Reality, Mark the Shark. Thanks for listening.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.